God, you may be seated. For a thought this morning, I want to bring the idea of loving one another because He loved us. Loving one another because He loved us. And how that is the heart of Christian unity in our communities. It starts with love. A little background into our book that we're looking at today. According to some of the commentary writers for this book, John is writing to a group of churches which are in crisis. They're actually going through some crisis. By what we see in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 to 19, we read, "Children, it is the last hour, as you have heard that Antichrist is coming. So many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour," John writes. So he's writing to a group of brothers and sisters in churches which are in crisis. Later on in chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, we read, "This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." And then also we read in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist." We can glean, from these texts that there is some conflict. There are people, we can glean from the text also that there were some people in the church around the time that John is writing this, that were once part of the Christian community in the actual churches that they're speaking to, but began to stray away. They began to stray away and to believe false teachings about the Christ, otherwise known as heresies. These individuals, after leaving, they didn't just leave the church. They began to actually start sending missionaries out and start teaching their own false doctrines about the Christ, whether He was fully human or fully divine. So they began to send these missionaries out and try to propagate these false teachings. 1 John 2:26 says, "I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." So we can glean from the text that there are some people that are trying to deceive fellow believers. Chapter 4, verse 1 tells us to test the spirits. Later on in 2 John, verse 7, we read, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh." So there was something going around where they were saying that maybe He was just only going to come in the spirit. But we believe that Jesus is coming back. Amen. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. All this to say, what John is trying to do in this book, really, is to try to write against these false teachings that were going on in the church, and to encourage the Christian community to stand fast. And standing fast begins with love. It begins with our love of the Father. Which brings us to our text today. There are thousands, if not millions, of people throughout the month of June that are celebrating love, especially in the city, San Francisco, and other cities around the world. There is this talk about love and free love, and that they're free to express this type of love in whatever manner they want. I say no. That's a lie. Because true love comes from who? The Father. True love comes from the Father. And it's manifest in him sending his son to die on the cross for the world, for all those that believe, so that they may come to repentance, a conviction by the Spirit, to turn away from sin and to stay faithful to the Christ. John is trying to encourage this community of believers by going down and talking about the love of God. Love of the Father, so that we can love one another, which is the heart of our Christian community. Which leads me to my first point. Thank you, brother. We can love one another when we love God. And I added a little bit of a to that. When we love God as our spiritual father. We read in verse 7, John starts off by saying, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from who? God. And whoever loves has been what? Born of God and knows God." John begins this section of his epistle by reminding the brethren a third time to love one another. The first time it's mentioned in 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, in the context of an indicator of one's walking in light. The second time we find it in 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18, in the context of evidence of one who is a child of God. And then here we see it in the context of being birth of God. He begins verse 7 with this exhortation, which is an address or a communication, emphatically urging somebody to do something. He's exhorting the Christian believers. In this case, John is urging the churches to love one another. He begins this section by calling them beloved. In other words, dear friends, which we see in our translations. There is a shift in this section of one from a testing the spirits from verses 1 through 6 to a change in the dynamic of his delivery into something more of a warm, pastoral tone. This beloved is a term of endearment. Some of you all may be aware of this, but in the Spanish language, we have something where we greet somebody in the church. We say, "Dios le bendiga, God bless you, hermanito, hermanito, little brother." Oh, Dios le bendiga, hermanita, little sister. It's not to belittle these individuals, but it's a term of endearment to the people. So we say, "God bless you, little brother." We're not underestimating these people. We are simply expressing a deeper bond with these individuals. John is expressing this type of bond with those individuals then, and he's expressing it through his word, by his spirit to us. John tells us where this love comes from, that it comes from the Bible, from God. Moreover, the Bible also tells us that whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So there's an aspect of being born again, right? We familiar to John chapter 3, right? Some of you guys may know, but John chapter 3, which we'll get to. But not only is born of God, but actually knows God. So there's knowledge and there's experience that happens. That is to say that if we are to love one another, brothers and sisters, it is only when we love God and know God. That is to say that we are all to love one another when we love God. And loving God is something that miraculously happens in our individual lives. If you ask me, when I first came to Christ, if that was something that I was seeking, it wasn't. I was in the world. I was out sinning. I was out living. Grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood in San Jose. A lot of gang violence and whatnot, drugs, violence, all this, you know, terrible stuff going on around. But thank God I found sports. I'm kind of a big guy, not as big as some of you guys here. Some of you guys are a little taller than me. But, you know, he introduced sports into my life. And through that sports, I was able to leave kind of that lifestyle. Yet, it didn't free me from the bondage of sin. God needed to work in my life, in my heart, and transform my being before I was able to even love him first. Therefore, because it is something that starts with the individual, we all need to self-assess if we're loving God, where our connection is with God. We're all united under the umbrella of Christianity. You guys are all brothers and sisters in Christ. I love you guys. I don't know you guys, but I love you guys. Much like these churches, we're in conflict today as well. There's a lot of discussion throughout the social media sites or what it is to follow Christ, what it is to be a Christian. There's a lot of things going on in social media about the end times and everything that's going on. And instead of bringing unity, it's doing what? It's separating us, creating little divisions here and there, which have been happening throughout all church history. It begins with us as individuals. Are we birthed of him? We hear stories, tragedies, misconduct in our churches, communities. Why? Because it begins with us. Once the individual relationships are established, once these relationships are established, then we can and will begin to see the fruit in our communities, primarily in our churches. That fruit will be the love of God, which proceeds from God. When I first came to understand this true love of God, that allowed me to be what? A better son, a better colleague, a better friend, a better father, a better husband, a better citizen, a better worker. Fill in the blank. It's not perfected. John is writing us this exhortation for all of us Christians to love other Christians. There is an importance to love non-Christians, absolutely. That's why we have evangelism, right? We go out and seek to make disciples of all the nations. But that love, the basis of this love, starts here with one another and how we love one another. Love is from God, and love flows from and out of God, who is the spring source of love, according to Aiken. John, in verse 8, goes on to say, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In verse 8, we see the negative, this love we are to have for one another. Verse 8 starts by saying that anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. So it's not talking about a specific, like, I don't love you in particular or whatever. It's talking about a general love. If there's no love manifesting in your life, then you have to ask yourself if you have been born of the Father. For God is love, right? Which is the outcry of so many people today that misuse this text, especially today. They say, God is love, therefore I can express my love in whatever way I want. No. We are free to love as he loved us. We hear free love. They use it in the text of God is love and justify the claim of free love. But that's not the case. They don't have that claim. It's not an outpouring on God's behalf. We are not loving, nor do we love, because we are naturally inclined to love. We love and can love Because God is ontologically in his being love. He is love and is able to outpour that love onto us. It is his love, it is his being, and is his to disperse. All that is to say that we can love one another when our love for the Father has been first established. When our love for the Father has been first established. Which, if I can click this clicker right, goes to my next point. Starting in verse 9 through 10, we can love one another when we acknowledge the Son. When we acknowledge the Son. Verse 9 says, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son into the world, and his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. As a whole, our sins. It may seem obvious from the reading that we have to love one another. We have to look to the Son. But I hate to assume the love which we have been speaking of in 7 and 8 is the very heart of our Christian communities, because it is manifested in one single act of God, which is the fact that he sent his Son. He sent his Son to die for our sins. Again, he's speaking to a Christian community. We're a Christian community for our sins. One can say that that this is the climax of the New Testament, that Christ was sent into the world, lived a righteous life, was condemned to death, death of a cross, was buried, rose again on the third day. And I love this because I remember teaching this to one of our Friday night Bible studies. I mentioned the fact that he hung around with his disciples for 40 days, right? Teaching. And she's like, I never knew he was around for 40 days. Well, you got to read your Bible. So he hung out for 40 days, discipling his disciples, teaching them the word and how the Old Testament spoke of him, right? And then what did he do? Just hang out? No, he ascended to be with the Father, the right hand of the Father, preparing a place for all those who believe and are following and are called according to his will. And it's coming soon, right? Amen. He is coming. Some know the heart of the text. Hey, we all know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because God does not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. This is the heart, right? The love, what God does on our behalf, sending his Son into the world. John writes to these brothers and sisters which are in crisis, and he's encouraging them not to be lured by these false teachings, not to be lured by what's going on outside these doors, but to stay focused on the love of God, to stay focused on Jesus Christ, who is the manifestation of God's love in our life. God's love shows up by sending his Son into this world that we might what? Live through him. God does something extraordinary in this verse. We see the same phrase again in verse 9. In this is love. We see it in verse 9, and then we see it again in verse 10. In this is love. John showing that the love we share with one another's is not initiated by us, but it is birthed, it is given by the Father. It is the Father who is initiating this love in us. In other words, if we do not have a general love for one another, we cannot say we love God, and the truth is not in us. What shall we do? I'm glad you asked. You can love one another when we are birthed of Christ into this new birth by acknowledging the Son. You got to turn to the Son. You got to turn to Jesus. Don't look to me. Don't look to Brother Jorge. Don't look to other people who come preaching the gospel. Look to the Son. Any and every good preacher will tell you, look at the Son. Don't look at us. Look at the Son. Acknowledge the Son. Repent. Turn from your sins and follow Christ. This is nothing new. We recall John chapter 3 in the gospel narratives. We read how Jesus interacted with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. He comes inquiring, speaking of the signs Jesus had been performing. Jesus responds to him by just saying, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Therefore, in our new birth, brothers and sisters, brood in the love of God, acted out in the Son's obedience to death and that of a cross. We have fellowship then, therefore, with the Father. We have fellowship with the Father through the Son. And it's through the Son alone that we're able to love one another. Therefore, we can love one another when we acknowledge the Son, who is the propitiation, for our sins. That is, God sent His Son to turn away the wrath of God toward men, offering up His Son. That's what propitiation means. So He turns away this wrath that we all deserve and puts His Son up on the cross, so that we might live by faith in Him. Which leads me to my final. I should have said third point, because I have 10 points. I'm kidding. In verse 11, still keeping within the theme of love and God and love and brotherly love, he says, and we read, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. It's perfected in us. John in verse 11 called them beloved, and so therefore we can love one another when God abides in us. Again, it begins with the initial established relationship between the individual and the Father. John in verse 11 calls them again, dear friends, beloved. If God loved us this way, we ought to love one another. Verse 11 is a statement of what? Of duty. It is our duty as Christian followers, as followers of the Christ, as disciples of the Christ, to love one another. Because we are benefiting, enjoying, living in the love of God, we ought to love one another. We are all enjoying. We're all getting what's the terms of an investment, right? ROI. We're all benefiting from an ROI, a return on investment of giving our heart to God. So it is every duty, it's the duty of every Christian to love his brother and his sister. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what they look like. If they're confessing Christ, we are to love them like He loved us. It doesn't matter what socioeconomic class they come from, what neighborhoods they were brought up in, what seminaries they went to, what schools and congregations they hung out. If they are confessing Christ as Lord and Savior, and the only means to the Father, and we are to love them like he loved us. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? To which he responds, love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Matthew and Mark add mind. This means that we are to love him with everything that we got, with our whole being. Not just part of it. I'm not going to love him just through my son, through my wife. I'm going to love him through everything that I am. But this means that I have to acknowledge the Son so that God can abide in me, so that I may love. So that I may love. Verse 12 is the hypothesis, as Aiken calls it. When John is speaking of no one seeing God, he's speaking in human sense. Because we know that Jesus was in perfect fellowship with the Father in all eternity. Nevertheless, John makes it clear that even though we have not seen God, God abides in us when we love one another. So even though we don't see God, we know he is here when we are loving one another. And that love is perfected in us. The commentary writer writes, no man has seen God in his unveiled essence, glory, and majesty. Indeed, we are incapable as finite, sinful creatures of looking on God. It would certainly be our death. He cannot be seen. However, in the lives of those who demonstrate this love to one another. This is the way we can see God abiding in us, by the way we love one another. And we're not talking about the superficial, hey brother, hey sister, when we're in close quarters, when we're with one another, when we're away from the rest of the body, really feeling that fellowship, that bond, that connection, like brother and sister do. And this love is perfected in that manner, made right, put in the right perspective in this messed up situation that we're all living in, called the today, this society, which is driven by sin, murders, shootings throughout the nation, abortions, injustices everywhere. Again, it begins with us here this morning. Therefore, we can love one another when God abides in us. No question. Have we given up our lives to the Lord? Have you let go of your sins? Don't answer that. That's a rhetorical question. Don't answer that, please. Have we repented of our sin? Did we sin this morning? Did we sin on the way here? We spent about 50 minutes on the freeway right now. A couple guys cut me off. Lord? Have we trusted the Lord? Have we left all, like his disciples have, to follow Jesus? All great questions to ponder over. If not, I ask you this morning to repent. Repent of your sins. Follow Jesus. Allow him to begin the work in you so that you may love like he loved you. Let God's love enter into your life and start the journey in the Lord, loving one another, practicing in the community of faithful believers this love for one another. Loving one another is the heart of our Christian communities. And it's up to us in the churches today to carry that love to those that are outcast, marginalized, and not recognized. But like I said, it begins with us in the church and how we love one another. One of the things our pastor back in Modesto, when we were in Modesto for a little while, would always say in his sermons and our church fellowship, that this is practice for the afterlife. We are practicing here what we're going to do for all eternity. So let us practice. Let this be a safe place for us to practice that love out, to hash it out, to iron it out, to see what it looks like for us to love one another in this body of believers. We may not like everybody that's here. That's fair. But if they are here, if they're believing, confessing, because by their fruits you shall know them, right? Then we ought to love them unconditionally like he loved us by sending his son to die on the cross for us. We're not perfect either. And God loved us. God loved me. I'm not perfect. That's my wife. She can testify to that. But we see God's love in that manifest day in, day out. For almost 16 years. I've known her for 20 years. Boyfriend and girlfriend for 19 years in September. And in August will be our 16-year wedding anniversary with our precious boy of 6 years old. Our little miracle child. But we always have to remind ourselves that it is because of the love that was birthed when we came together, we came and bonded together, that is carrying us through. We may not like these folks that we're dealing with for years maybe, but guess what? We just got to love on them. We just got to love. One of the things that we are working with our son right now is that while we're in an all-Spanish congregation down in San Jose, I'm teaching him to try to say, God bless you, in Spanish. I know, we're terrible. We haven't taught him Spanish yet. We're working on that. But and it sounds really funny and cute too, right? Just let me, yeah. Like his voice gets all pitchy and a little different because generally his voice is not as pitchy. But we're teaching him, hey, what it is to have fellowship with brothers and sisters in the church and to be respectful and to show them and to show them what loving on people and praying on people is. And I see him. You guys probably met him already. He just wants to just start talking to you and conversing with you. Well, that's a reflection of Mama, you know, instilling in him those wonderful attributes to love and people and respect people. And I see him growing, and I'm so proud of him. And I see our churches growing, and know that I'm proud of our churches too. That despite this, you know, sometimes feeling it, sometimes not feeling it, that in the middle of all that mess, what's going around the world, we can love one another. When we love God as our spiritual father, we can love one another. When we acknowledge the Son as the propitiation for our sins and why we have access to the Father. And that we can love one another when God abides in us and his love is perfected through us in the manifestation of how we love one another. I know that I don't know most of you, probably all of you, except for Brother Jorge. But like one of my mentors used to tell us, and I've been wanting to adapt this for a long time, we love y'all, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Father God, for this day. Thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. Thank you, Father God, because you have come, you have sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Thank you, Father God, because even though we were sinners, you sent your only Son, that we may have life and life in abundance through him. Thank you, Father God, because your Son completed the work. And he has, as we sang this morning, he is our living hope. So thank you for that. Thank you for this church, this ministry, Brother Jorge, and what he's doing here with this body of believers. Continue to bring unction unto him. Cover him, Father God. And continue to give him wisdom and encouragement, Father God, as he leads your people. I pray for all those that are here, who have been here, who are established, who are supporting Brother Jorge, that you continue to work in their lives to grow more and more in the knowledge of who the Son is, to the glory of the Father, by the Spirit. We ask these things. Now bless our time, bless our going away, bless our going out of this place, but never out of your presence, Father God. You are our Redeemer. You are my Savior. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.